In Judaism, numbers are very important. In fact, at the Seder night, we talk a lot about the meaning of different numbers in Judaism, Echad Miyadeya, etc. You keep going up the numbers, but there is rarely a time in the Jewish calendar where numbers are more important than when we actually have a mitzvah d'oraisa to count numbers, to actually count something. So there are a few times that you have that. You have a mitzvah d'oraisa, a woman who's tamei as a zava gedola has to count Shiva Nikiyim, but even then she's not really counting, it's more like just keeping track of. The only time that we really count is when it comes to maybe counting the years of Yovel and counting the Omer. Nowadays when we count the Omer, we only do it on a Derabbanan level because we don't have the Karban Omer anymore according to most Rishonim, we only do it Midrabbanan. But nevertheless, it is a mitzvah to actually count to 49 days of Sfira. The Maharal in Nesivos Olam suggests that this number 49 is not an accident, that this number 49, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had it b'ashkacha, that we dafka have 49 days between Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kabbalas HaTorah, because if one wants to acquire Torah knowledge, one needs to master 48 Kinyanei Torah. There are 48 ways to be Kona the Torah listed in Pirkei Avos, and it's become almost a minhag already that people spend one day of Sfira on each of the 48 Kinyanei Torah. So it's not a coincidence, Maharal writes, and it's a Mesorah in the Beis Medrash of Yisrael Salanter, one day for each of the Kinyanei Torah. The obvious problem is there are 49 days of Sfira, there are 48 Kinyanei Torah. Ah, you could be off by one in Gematria. You could be off by one. Yeah, but like, come on. Like, what are you supposed to do on that 49th day? I mean, when you're just making a Gematria, you could say you could be off. But like, if you're preparing a separate Kinyan Torah each day, so what do I do on that last day? Tomorrow, Erev Shavuos, I've already done all 48 Kinyanei Torah. Where do I put my focus tomorrow when I'm trying to prepare for Kabbalas HaTorah? So minhag in recent years is don't do anything, just take a nap so you can stay up all night. But let's say I actually have some waking hours where I want to focus on something. Where does one put their focus on that 49th day? So you guys might remember if Sachs spoke about this a couple of weeks ago in one of his sichot, and he pointed out what Rav Asher Weiss had suggested. Rav Asher Weiss writes in Minchas Asher and has suggested on a number of occasions that the 49th day is for what is used for what the Gemara in Nida, Daf Ayin Amud Beis, teaches us. The Gemara in Nida, Daf Ayin Amud Beis, tells us, Ma Yasa Adam V'yachkam. What should a person do if he wants to become a Chacham? Amalan Rishur Ben Chananya, Yarbe B'yeshiva, V'yema'it B'schora. Okay, makes sense. Spend a lot of time learning and not so much time doing other things, and then you will be a Talmud Chacham. Meaning there are no shortcuts. You can't become a Talmud Chacham by spending just a few minutes learning. You got to learn. You got to really learn if you want to become a Talmud Chacham. You have to spend a lot of time learning, and you might b'schora and do less business and less other things. Amru, so the Gemara says they have a tradition. Harbe asukein v'lo tawilahem. You know what? There are people who have tried that. Big masmidim. They sat and they learned and they learned and they learned. And you know what? They still didn't become a Talmud Chacham. It didn't work for them. So what do you do if you want to become a Talmud Chacham? Ella yevakshu racham mimimi shachachma shalom. You have to daven from the one who's in charge of all chachma. Meaning you have to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have to daven that he grant you chachma and then you will become a Talmud Chacham. And the Gemara goes on to say, ha below ha lo sagya. If you have one without the other, it's not enough. To just learn or to just daven is not enough. A person has to learn, and a person has to daven to become a Talmud Chacham. If you do one and not the other, it's never going to work. A person is not going to become a Talmud Chacham. So that's what Rav Asher Weiss suggested. Maybe 48 Kinyanei Torah are midos that we have to perfect in order to be able to acquire the Torah. Chaznish compared it to the first mission in Kiddushin, that an isha is niknes b'shlosha drachim. There are three ways to make a kiddushin happen, and only three ways. There are 48 ways to make the Torah yours. You need these 48. It's not like there are other ways out there. But then, that's all in terms of the hishtadlus side of it. The hishtad of the yarbe b'yeshiva side of it. The hishtadlus is do those 48 hishtadluyos. Do those 48 things to yourself to work on midos, to make yourself capable of achieving Torah. But then there's the other side of tefillah, of turning to the Ribbono Shel and davening that he should grant you the chachma. Ha, aloha, lo sagi. In fact, the Levush, Nor Chaim, in Reish Sadi Dalid, Sifalov explains that on Motzei Shabbos, we say in the Atochon Antanu, we say, Atochon in Ladam Das, and then we say, Atochon Antanu Lamad Torasecha. So we're essentially saying Das twice. Das and Lamad Torasecha. So Levush explains that first there's the regular Das and Seichel that Hashem grants intelligent people in all of humanity to be able to function intelligently. And it's for that Das that we say, Atachonein La Adam Das. Before a big exam, a student might have extra kavana in Atachonein because he wants Das, but not the Das that's unique to a Jew. Or that's Das, like anybody else, he wants the knowledge. But then there's an entirely different form of Das. And for lack of a better term, not using this the way it's colloquially used, we can call it, I guess, Das Torah. Again, not in that sense, but it's the intellect needed for understanding Hashem's Torah. And it's specifically in the bracha, where we're mavdil ben kodesh l'chol, that we ask for that separate type of das. And it only comes through tefillah. We can only achieve that das through tefillah. I think Rabbi Weberman told me the story of a boy who is, I forget, maybe Rabbi Yechiel Weberman told me the story, maybe it was someone else, I don't remember, of a boy who was struggling in his learning, and he was really working hard, and he wasn't getting where he needed to get. He wasn't really accomplishing. So he went to Reb Chaim Kanievsky to ask for advice. And Reb Chaim told him, first, you shouldn't give up. You keep on working hard. Keep on working basmada. Second of all, he said, be careful not to miss a minyan. Meaning, take your tefillah so seriously that you'll never miss a minyan. That your tefillah is so important that you'll always daven b'tzibur. And third, when you're davening, have extra kavana in atachonin. Ooh, a skula nifla'a. What's the skula? No skula. It's exactly what the Gemara says. Yarbe b'yeshiva, and yivakish rachamim, and mimishah chachma shalom. Be a masmid, and don't forget to take your davening seriously. You gotta daven. It's not going to work without that. Anyway, the story went that the boy took the advice very seriously. He always tried very, very hard to always make a minyan, never missed a minyan. One night, he got home late from a chasna, he missed davening marav at the chasna, he hadn't yet davened marav. He lived in a neighborhood where it was past the last minyan already. There was no marav minyan to be had. He took a cab to a neighborhood that had minyanim until very late hours, but something happened, a road was closed, construction on the road in the middle of the night. He didn't arrive until 2 a.m. And it didn't look good, because even in the neighborhoods where they have marav very late, I mean, 2 a.m. is kind of late. So it didn't look good. He's in this base medrash where it's like a minyan factory, but there's no minyanim anymore. And slowly, over the next few hours, people begin to trickle in, which is weird, because if you haven't davened marav at 2 a.m., why would you think you're going to find a minyan at 2 a.m., or at 2:30, or at 2:45? And people started trickling in by 3:30. A.M. that had a minyan for Marav. And he was so overjoyed and so excited that he was able to keep this Kabbalah of his, that he's never going to miss a minyan. He decided this Atachonein is going to be his best Atachonein ever. This the Kavanah he has when he asks for Das, and he davens like this super long Atachonein. He davens a Shemone Esrei that lasts longer than everybody else's because he has such deep Kavanah with tears in his eyes over the davening for Hashem to give him that kind of das. And he found that tefillah was a turning point. And at that point, he felt a certain sense of hatzlach in his learning from that point forward. And the way the story goes is that today he's a Talmud Chacham and a Mechaber Sfarim, although not everyone who's a Mechaber Sfarim is necessarily the greatest Talmud Chacham in the world, but Mechaber Good Sfarim. And, he really achieved in learning. You can't do it without davening. So that's one approach. The 49th day is for tefillah. A second possible approach, though, is that the 49th day might be a day to take stock of what's about to happen. Meaning, 48 days were focused on this Kinyan Torah, that Kinyan Torah, that Kinyan Torah. I mean, we're looking at each tree in the forest and analyzing this tree, that tree, that tree. 49th day, we take a step back and we look at the entire forest. And we say, okay, what are we about to do? You know, we have now honed our instincts over the past 7 weeks to hopefully become the kinds of people that are B'nai Torah. And now we look forward to simply appreciating Torah, appreciating the joy of receiving the Torah. Just with a sense of excitement, a sense of eslavus, a sense of vigor. Today, that we forget all the trees, we focus on the forest because we're about to sit at Har Sinai and experience Kabbalah Satorah, and that's the greatest gem that we ever could have received. You know, Chazal say that the loss of a Jewish life is like the burning of a Torah. That person, if you're there when someone dies, you have to tear Kriya, because it's like being there when a Torah is burnt. And it's just such an... in fact, Chazal say that if a Talmud Chacham dies, you have to go to the funeral unless there are already 600,000 people there. Why? Because just like the second paragraph of Ksuba says, because just like the Torah was given with 600,000, it should be honored when it leaves with 600,000 as well. But it's so interesting to note that normally, like if you give a mashal to something, the mashal is supposed to be more muvan than the nimshal, right? The mashal is supposed to be something that you can relate to. You're teaching chabura to high school kids, right? To high school boys, let's say. And you want to give a mashal. So what do you go to? A mashal about anything. What topic do you go to give a mashal? Sports, always. Why? Because that's what they know. That's what they're comfortable with. That's what they, you know, that's what they spend their time with. So the mashal is going to work. It's going to resonate. It's going to mean something to them. The nimshal, they don't yet get. They don't yet understand. You're hoping through the mashal to make the nimshal more understood. But think about this, what Chazal say. When a person dies, how sad should you be? How sad should you be? It's like when you lose a Torah. Which would we have been more easily able to relate to, you know, emotionally? Which is the mashal, which is the nimshal? You know, I would have said, you know, a Torah gets burnt, let's say, chas v'shalom. So what are you going to say? Why should I be saying? It's a book. It's just a book. No, it's like losing a person. A person, I know, when a person dies, they should feel a sense of profound grief and emotion, and the loss of human life is tragic. I know that intuitively. The loss of Torah is like the loss of life. But Chazal flipped it. It's like, it's self-understood. The loss of Torah is the greatest tragedy there is. The loss of a human life is like the loss of Torah. Such a hashkafa, such an ahavas haTorah. The 49th day is just to appreciate just how amazing it is. And maybe just to add to that a little bit, it's not just appreciating how amazing it is, but to get into a comfort zone of, you know, broad-mindedness and open-mindedness to receive the Torah. In the book, The Happiness Advantage, which I quote often, the author, Sean Aker, cites research that people tend to perform better on exams and tasks when they're relaxed and happy. A student can spend an entire semester learning the material he needs to know for his final exam. He's better off in that last half hour. I'm sure you've been there. That last half hour right before the exam, where there are like people cramming and trying to like and testing each other, and you're like, I don't know what they're talking about. Oh my God, I'm going to fail. Like, it doesn't even sound familiar. You know, we've all been there, right? How can you maximize those last few minutes? And research shows that better than cramming those last few minutes, eat a lollipop, you know, if you like lollipops. Just do something that makes you happy. Just anything that makes you happy, even a tiny little pleasure, a little, you know, an ice cream cone, will be more effective in getting your brain working than more studying and more cramming. If our Kabbalah Satorah is going to be effective, it can't just be 49 days straight of work, 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 work. There has to be 48 days of work, work, work. A 49th day where we just take a step back and say, wow, we're so lucky to be a Jew. We're so lucky to have this relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, where he wanted to give us the Torah. And we have the opportunity to serve him. We have the opportunity to have this incredible connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when we do that, our minds will be open. Our minds will be ready. Instead of cramming those last few minutes, what is the avodah? What's tomorrow for? What is Erev Shavuos for? What are those last 24 hours for? Maybe it's for davening. Maybe it's for appreciating. appreciating just why this is such a joyous time, and what it means to be a Jew, and how happy we should be to be a Jew, and using that as the impetus to be able to achieve even greater heights in Talmud Torah.